they were like glued shut. And so we prayed. We prayed that that infection, that that crust would leave. And it was amazing. I saw it right. I was standing there in front of my own eyes. It was like watching snow melt in the sun. Is it like literally just went like this. And the little baby opened his eyes up. The most beautiful, huge brown eyes you'd ever want to see in the world. And we were like praising God. And here's your baby. And they were like praising God in Creole or whatever it is they speak. I think it's Creole. But it's just, it's so special. But it's like, when we were down there, we were baby Christians. Oh, sorry. I'm on this one. Okay. He's taking my mic away. Praise God. Well, I thought I needed two mics tonight. Okay. This is really broadcast out to the stereo. There we go. But we saw these miracles happen. And even though we were baby Christians, and honestly, if you told me, Donna, go out and preach the gospel, all I knew was Jesus died for our sins. If you receive him, he's your Lord. That's it. That's all I knew. No scriptures memorized yet. I was a baby Christian. But I had the faith of a child as well. And it's just amazing how the Lord used that time to build our faith, to literally set a path of we would walk in the ministry. Because when you see miracles like that happen, there's just something about you will catch on fire for God. You'll realize, wait a second, this is not just a book, that this is real. This is something that can actually change your life, change your circumstances, change your surroundings if you believe it and you stand on it. It's not something you just try out for a little while. It's not something, well, you know, I tried that Christian thing. It just didn't work for me. Well, I wonder why. And if you just believe, you know, this is going to work or I'm going to die trying. Amen? That's where you need to be with the Word of God, because you won't die trying. Amen? And the reason why I tie this whole thing in with Haiti was this past weekend, I had a neighbor of ours is a pastor, and he learned that we were doing deliverance, and he knew of a family, it was friends of his, that had an 11-year-old boy that was adopted from Haiti at the age of 6 months. Well, this child would go into fits of rage. They literally would put him in the psych unit at Vanderbilt. But it would react only to prayer. So we knew what it was. If anyone knows anything about Haiti, you know about the voodoo. And they try to get demons down there. It's part of their ritual. They ask them in. It's nasty. And so we're like, sure, bring them on. We'll pray for this child. This little boy went through, I think they started at the age of 3, trying to get this child help. They never had, I think they were Baptist. I'm not sure if they believed in deliverance, but I mean, they were like, we were the last chance. And then they said, if we didn't help this child, they were going to give him up for adoption again. So I didn't know what was going to happen. They came here. We had the parents filled out a curse, like a history where we could break curse off their life. We ministered to this little boy, and we saw some phenomenal miracles. I mean, it was awesome, but it's not us. It was 100 people praying. There was literally over 100 people that this family had contacted that were in prayer during this time of ministry that made all the difference in the world. And as we ministered to this little boy, the Holy Spirit brought up a part of him, and his spirit, at the age of 6 months, knew that he was abandoned. He knew, well, actually, it was more than that. He wasn't just given up for adoption. His mother died at 5.5 months. Then the father kept him for a week and then literally just handed him over to the orphanage. So we don't know what kind of abuse happened in the orphanage. Just the wounding of his parent, his mother dying and giving up. You think, well, a baby's just a baby. They can't possibly know what's going on. Oh, no. Your spirit, now this is a revelation the Lord had given me. Your spirit is given to you at the split second of conception. Your spirit does not age. So your spirit is the same at conception as it is when you're 90 years old. Okay? It says that John the Baptist, when he was inside of his mother, he leapt in his mother's womb in Elizabeth when he had heard Mary's voice. His spirit man knew he was in the presence of his Lord. And that little baby, that little Haitian child knew this wounding. And as we prayed for him, the Holy Spirit brought up that little six-month-old baby. And we've seen this before. I've actually prayed and seen the Holy Spirit bring up parts of people, their spirit, in utero. I've seen that. I'll have to tell you about that story someday. But this little six-month-old, and I just, we believe this is literal, okay? I stand on Hebrews 4:12, and I take this, and I divide soul and spirit according to Hebrews 4:12. You can literally divide soul and spirit. And that six-month-old baby instantly came up, just tears, like huge tears streaming down his face. And I said, are you the six-month-old? Now, this child had no education about deliverance at all, none. And he said, yes. And he had the ability to speak. A lot of times, we'll have to pray that into a situation. We have to ask the Lord to give the infant the ability to speak. But because of the prayer support we had, it was right there. He forgave his mother for abandoning him through death. He forgave his father for giving him up. We ministered healing, and as soon as that all got taken care of, the Lord just blew the lid off of this thing like a volcano. I mean, there's a lot of times where we have to work on getting demons to manifest because at that point they want to hide and they want to stay. Uh-uh, not here this time. It was just like Mount St. Helen was going up, and I was like, we're going, okay, come out in the name of Jesus. And I mean, this child, his face turned like a bluish purple, and he let out the most inhuman scream for about 30 minutes straight. I mean, so much to the point where I was praying, I was like, oh my God, Lord, is he okay? You know, I'm thinking of his throat. I mean, and it was, his face did not even look the same. But when he got done, he went, wow, my throat hurts. And I mean, that was his response. And then he goes, I feel really good. And we gave him some water, and he was like, oh, I feel so much better now. And I mean, it was so simple in his mind. He had no idea of the magnitude of what just had happened to him. And I think his parents were in shock that all those years of struggling and, you know, 7 years of pursuing medical help just ended in 2 hours of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. God is good. Let's give the Lord a praise. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just lift up this time to you tonight. Lord, we honor you and glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. You have given us your word to stand on. Father, we just ask that you just touch every heart here tonight, that you change us, that you transform us into the likeness of your being, Lord God. Father, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in all of our lives, bringing us to a place that's closer to you, a complete healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. How many people do we have here from last week? Anybody? We've got, okay. Yep, pretty many. All right. Does anyone remember what I talked about last night? What was it? Uh-huh. Did anybody see the Sunday paper? The Tennessean? I couldn't believe this, y'all. We had the Sunday paper, and so many times I'm so busy, we drive over it 4 days before we even pick it off our driveway. We're so bad about that. But I drove up to it, and the Lord went, pick it up. Oh, yeah, I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe there's some really good coupons in it or something. You know, I throw it in my car, and that later that day I take it out, and I open it up in my living room. What do I see? In the Sunday Tennessean, Western faiths begin to connect with yoga. This was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it because, you know, sometimes when you do something like this, you wonder, am I on track, Lord? Am I doing what you want me to do? I was like, yeah, okay, that's confirmation. Let me just share a little bit of this article. I'll put this up on the board, back on the table if anyone wants to see it. But it first starts out talking about synagogues. Jewish synagogue believers are actually incorporating yoga in. It says, 20 men and women bent over the yoga mat scattered on the synagogue's floor. Now they're practicing Hinduism. This is Hinduism. Now, lift your leg up in the air, extend your right arm, and reach around and grab your left foot, said the Jewish yoga instructor. The blessing is not in the final pose. He says the blessing is in the practice. Yoga is an ancient spiritual practice with roots in Hinduism that is designed to connect body, mind, and spirit in sometimes unusual and contorted poses. Then it goes on later on in this, it talks about a Christian church that's bringing it in as well. And these people, some people were saying, yes, this is Hinduism, and then the people that were the Christians were saying, oh, no, it's not a religion at all. And if you go over to India, you walk into a temple or somewhere where there's a yogi, there is a yogi. Somebody who is actually teaching this is a religion in India. And they laugh at Americans because we don't realize it. But I just thought, wow, is this not a sign of the times that's happening? Did you take that? So if you are interested in looking at that, why don't you stick it on the table back there? It's just amazing. And so we're going to continue on and teaching about things to look out for, okay? I don't want my flock, my little sheepies, falling into traps, amen? God has given me people to watch over, pray for, protect, well, then I'm going to teach my sheep, just like I do my real sheep at home, where to go and where not to go. And yes, I have real sheep. Because the Lord actually told us over a year ago to get some sheep to learn how to deal with Christians. And we've learned a lot of lessons about that.
It's amazing what God thinks about.
But they are cute. They are cute. I got to admit that. They're really sweet. Okay. So I'm going to be pursuing this teaching until basically I get through all the subjects or the Lord releases me from it. But I want you to be trained. I want you to be able to discern truth from error, okay? Because I'm not in your living room. I'm not next to you when you turn on the TV or wherever you attend church on Sunday or whatever the latest conference you go to. I'm not going to be right there with you. I want to teach you how to discern, is this of God? Amen. This is really important. We consider this church an end times church. We know demons exist. Okay? We know that there's a very real enemy out there that wants to destroy us. Okay? And let me just share this with you. Satan's number one goal is not necessarily for you to become a witch or be going to witchcraft. He doesn't care if you go practicing yoga or if you get into the New Age or Buddhism or Unitarianism or anything or humanism, as long as you're not looking at Jesus. That's what he's trying to keep you from. So he has actually concocted thousands and thousands and thousands of false religions and cults and ideas to distract, to try to trick you, to try to get you off the truth. He doesn't care which one you pick. They all lead to the same place. Okay? But I want you to know how to recognize things. So I was praying about this teaching for tonight. I was like, okay, where do we go from here? And the Lord impressed in my heart a teaching about angels. And I thought, well, angels is a vast subject. Angels you could teach on for weeks. Because there's a lot of information about that. But that's not what the Lord had in mind. And I wasn't really sure what the Lord had in mind till I turned on the internet today as I was preparing for tonight. And I found a teaching about an angel that is totally unscriptural. And I'm actually going to read it to you, parts of it, not the whole thing. But now we're going to pick it apart. And I'm going to teach you scripturally how to recognize truth and error. Now, my purpose here is not to slam anybody. I'm never going to get up here and name ministries or name names. That's not my job, okay? They stand before God and answer for their own life. But I will take a teaching that I believe does not line up with Scripture and lay it out so we can look at it and examine it. Amen? Okay. Turning in your Bibles tonight, if you have your Bible with you, turn to the book of Galatians. Chapter 1. And you get there, say amen. Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that are called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Okay? Kind of like, just if you don't like to mark up this particular Bible, I've got different Bibles. Some I scribble and some I don't touch. Just remember another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel or the good news of Christ. For though we, in verse 8, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. It's a very serious matter with God. I mean, when you get up in front of people and you handle the word of truth, it's serious. I've taught meetings for over 5 years. I've taught and taught. I've had classes. I've written a workbook. I can teach a 4-hour workshop without even blinking, practically without even preparing. I've got so much stuff stored in my mind, especially about deliverance. But when I get up here, it's different. Because it's like I know I'm responsible, and I approach this with fear and trembling. I really want you to know that, and so does Rich as well. This is a very heavy responsibility to do this. And I challenge anybody, if I ever say anything or Rich says anything that's not according to Scripture, please come to us and show us so we can be corrected as well. Okay. The name of tonight's teaching is Truth About Angels. Okay, and this is the Hedges series, part 2. Let's look over at another scripture before we begin. I'm kind of laying a scriptural foundation, and you'll see where we're going. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, and verse 18 through 23. Rich, would you read that for us?
Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to its ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, all of which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
Thank you. There's lots there. We could teach a whole sermon in just that set of scriptures tonight, but I just want you to see a couple of things we're going to point out to you. In verse 18, let no man beguile you or trick you or deceive you. That's what that word means. Of your reward. What reward? If you look up that word in the Greek, it means salvation. Do you realize you could be tricked out of your salvation? Involuntary humility and the worshiping of angels. This is something that I've seen a lot of coming into popularity. Ministry of angels, what angels do, that there's different angels that have different names and they have all these jobs. They do, and I believe that this is an end times deception. We are never, ever to step outside the confines of the Word of God. This is all we have that the Lord God has given us to live our life by. He says, I am God, I change not. He is not going to add anything new to this. There's no space back here for new pages. Okay? It's not going to change. There's no new revelation. It's all right here. This book was written, parts of it, 2,000 years ago and 4,000 years ago before that. If it worked then for all those people, this is what we have for today. Amen? And believe me, back then, Paul was dealing with false teachers coming into the church trying to do the same thing they're doing today. I don't know if it's just there's different movements that kind of go through the Christian world of things that kind of people get drawn to. And I believe that the trickery behind that is a hunger to see the supernatural. If people saw true power of God in their church on Sunday morning, miracles, salvations, healings, they wouldn't be craving the supernatural. But they're not seeing that because a lot of churches haven't taken the full counsel of God. So these people go out searching. They're like, well, this is good. You know, we stand up, we sing songs, we listen to the preacher, and then we all go to, you know, Starbucks for our morning coffee. There is no life in that. That's and a lot of people get turned off because they're not seeing what this book says we are supposed to be seeing. I was just thinking, and I didn't share this with you yet. I thought I'd share it with you now. I think we're going to do a missions trip, a Spiritual Freedom Church missions trip. And I'm not sure when, but the Lord just, I was thinking about Haiti. The Lord just dropped it in my heart. But when God shows us the plan for it, we're going to take a group of people with us to another country so you could see miracles like we have seen them over abroad. And we see him here. If you want to see miracles, just volunteer to help us on our team. You'll see a miracle. Casting out of demons, that's a miracle. Jesus said it was, okay? So we see miracles like that, but it's really awesome to see the Lord move in other countries. Okay. So now let's look at another scripture, one more, before we get into our teaching. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, chapter 1. If you love the Word of God, say amen. Good. I'm glad to hear that. There's a very important reason for that that we're going to see. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:1. I'll go ahead and read that. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, isn't that interesting? To them that believe and know the truth. You have to not just believe that Jesus is Lord, but you have to know the truth, friends. Okay? For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and with prayer. If thou put the brethren, in verse 6, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Okay, that we'll just go ahead and stop right there. We are held accountable for how we process what we see and hear. Okay, just because somebody has a flashy ministry, they could have an airplane, they could have written myriads of books, tapes, CDs, have their own program, doesn't mean you automatically believe what they say. You have to know the Word of God for your truth, because that is not proof that they are actually walking in truth. Okay, you think, well, but they're so blessed, right? Let me give you a statistic I saw the other day. This will amaze you. Out of the five, Forbes just came up with this, and I just got this like 2 days ago. The five wealthiest women in the world. You know who the number one is? Take a guess. Oprah Winfrey. The top five, you have Madonna, J.K. Rowling, who wrote all the Harry Potter books, Oprah. You have Nicole, what's her name? Kidman, thank you. And you've got Martha Stewart. Okay, I think she's okay. I like her stuff. She's all right. But think about the other ones. They're not serving God. Okay, who do they serve? Right. And they're the wealthiest women in the world. They're worth billions. Oprah's worth $1.5 billion. We can't even figure out what that means in our account. We couldn't imagine what that would be like. Okay? And so just because somebody's prosperous does not mean that it's of God. Think back to when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. What was the second temptation? All the kingdoms of the world. What did he say? I can give them to whom I please, for they are mine to give. Okay? He's the lowercase God of this world, G. Okay? So, if you think about it, Satan can prosper you. And a lot of people know that, and a lot of people pursue the devil for that very purpose. End up in hell. So, what I want you to get is that, first of all, don't be impressed Don't be impressed by anything. I don't care how enticing the words are, how charming the personality, how flashy the presentation is. You listen for yourself. It means your soul is hanging in the balance. And I make a habit. I'll sit there and I like have a truth radar up because I'm very sensitive to error. If I hear one thing that's off, I know it. It's like you can just pick up on it. When you're looking for it, you're believing God to show you that. The Holy Spirit's more than happy to show you, because why? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He leads us into all truth. So that same Holy Spirit is going to protect you from error if you ask for it, if you let Him. But if you just go in and just participate of whatever's going on and sit under that teaching, then you're subject to a deception. Well, how could that hurt me, Pastor Donna? Easy. If you open yourself up to a deception, you open yourself up to the demonic realm. Christian or not, if you start participating in a false doctrine, another gospel, you are subject to get attacked. How? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So it's of utmost importance to make sure that your doors are closed. I can't tell you how many people come in here and they're just absolutely tormented with any, you know, number of different things. And they'll say, you know, I'll say, well, is there any witchcraft in your background? No. Is there any occultic curses? No. You ever played with a Ouija board? Oh, no, we never had that. And then I'm sitting there going, got any Harry Potter videos? Oh, yeah, we've got every one of them. I've heard that. And it's like, that'll open you up to some torment, big time, okay? So, the reason why we're doing this is that we want protection from deception. It's the three D's: deception, danger, and demonic attack. That's the purpose of this teaching, okay? Now, moving on. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 and 18. I better hurry up. I've got 6 pages of notes in 15 minutes. I don't know what's going to happen. 2 Timothy 2, and it's tight. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The word study there in the Greek, if you look it up, it means to exert oneself, to endeavor, or to give diligence. That doesn't mean, you know, pick your Bible promise out of your little container or on your counter before you run out the door in the morning. That's not showing yourself, studying to show yourself approved. Studying means you sit down, just like you did in college or high school or whatever, and you study the Word of God. Get out your concordance and use your Bible helps. Most Bibles today come with them in the back. And learn what the Word of God says. A lot of it is shortchanged to us just because we speak English and we don't have as rich of a language as the Greek and the Hebrew. But when you start looking up the actual meanings of words, you'll be amazed. Okay. All right. If you, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll go there next. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 15. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's speaking about the coming Antichrist, sitting in the third temple. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Okay? That same spirit that is on the Antichrist is already at work in this world. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the truth, it says, the love of the truth. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Okay, and then it says there in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The key there that I want you to see is that, one, Satan is capable of doing lying signs and wonders. Just because you're in a conference and you see or feel something doesn't mean it's of God. Know that. And as the times get darker and darker, this is on the increase. Okay? What will protect you from that? What does it say? The love of the truth. That is your number one form of protection against deception, is loving God's word and taking it into your heart and treasuring it and considering it a precious possession, not just a ritual or a chore or I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to read my Bible. No, but this should be very dear to you, because if you absolutely love the word, you're loving God. You're loving him because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Amen. And, you know, people go, well, I want to hear God's voice, or I want to be closer to God. Just get in the Word. You'll be sitting on his lap. Amen. This is God. This is his Word that he's given to us. Okay, so we want to love the truth. We want to love God's Word. All right. I'm just going to read the scripture to you really quick. 2 Corinthians 11. Verses 13 and 15, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay. Now, I lay the foundation. Okay. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to take this reading that I found today on the internet, and I'm going to read to you different parts of it, going in order chronologically. Now, this is somebody who's got a pretty large, respected ministry. I'm not going to say who it is. It doesn't matter. But this is what they wrote. A vision of an angel while in worship. An angel came flying into the auditorium and appeared to hover right in front of me. Now, this is in quotation, so this is actually what the person was saying. And it says, while waiting on the Lord, the Holy Spirit kept whispering to me that the word of knowledge would be in operation this night to watch while in worship, as he was going to show me something important. Interestingly, I thought, I went into the meeting knowing that the winds had just come into the natural, I guess, where this person was flying somewhere and became very windy in their plane, and a lot of planes were delayed. And I was anticipating them to come in the spiritual. In Hebrews 1, 7 and 14, now this is the person's quotation of the Word of God. Listen to this. See if you can catch the error. They misquote the Word of God. And verse 14 speaks of angels as winds. Now it's in quotes, in a different color lettering to know that this person is writing the Word of God. And speaking of angels, he says, he makes his angels winds. His servants, flames of fire. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Did you catch that? That's not what my Bible says. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 7, it says, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, you might be thinking right now, well, that's not, you know, that big of a deal. But actually it is. And I looked up the Greek word there, that particular word for spirits, and it has five different meanings, going from a gentle breath all the way to the Spirit of God. So if you just take a definition and pick and choose out of context, you could change the Word of God. Okay? There's a very strict warning about doing that. We're going to get to that in a minute. I looked up and a wind seemed to be blowing right in front of my face. As I looked up, an angel came flying into the auditorium and appeared to hover right in front of me. It stopped in mid-flight and looked right at me. It was dressed in glowing white and flowing garment with a gold sash from the right shoulder to the left waist. These words were written on the sash that stated, Israel Awakening. Okay? Keep that in mind. As soon as I read the name of the angel, it disappeared. Yet the presence of divine knowing lingered within me. What did this vision mean? What was the Holy Spirit attempting to convey anyway? This is what this person's saying. And these are the three points. That the church, the body of Christ, would be awakened to supernatural activity of God, to her role in the last days. But to be awakened, that means that we are currently asleep. I don't know about y'all. I haven't been asleep. I've been anything but asleep. Amen? I've been working so hard trying to take care of everything and do the church and prayer and prepare for sermons. I am not asleep. Okay? And I don't think either any of you are either. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight. You'd be in front of your television. To arouse the sleeping bride to her rightful place of intercession and cooperation with the Son of God. Now, listen to this. Let me reread this one sentence. The Holy Spirit with angelic activity? Since when does the Holy Spirit go tandem with angelic activity? Never. Never. It says that activity is being released. My Bible says, Acts chapter 2, that the Spirit of God was already poured out in the day of Pentecost. That Holy Spirit was more than enough, amen, to take us all the way into heaven and to the end of time. There is no re-release. Or that God doesn't need angels. He uses them, they're created beings, but he doesn't need angels to accomplish his work in this earth, okay? All right, so we're going to, that's all I'm going to read from that. We're going to look at some of these things that I pointed out to you. Now, remember, the purpose of this is not to rip this apart, but I want you to be able to catch things. Now, there's a lot of things I read, and I could see by the expression on your face, it got by you. You have to have an absolute radar up for error and go, wait a minute. You almost have to be suspicious of everybody. That's the safest place. Is this person true? Because if they are, it'll line up with Scripture, and you could go ahead and receive it. But if it's not, walk away from it. You shut it off, okay? Yes?
Now, in saying all this, I want you guys to realize that occasionally everybody misses it. You know, this is not talking about somebody that just, you know, they think something's supposed to be this way, and they just don't understand it.
Right.
This is talking about when things are going on, that are outside of the written Word of God, so-called supernatural experiences, we got to have a way to know, okay, is this God or is this not God?
Okay. Let me read to you out of Revelations 22, 18 and 19. It says, this is a warning. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall take away, add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. All right, now here's some things I want you to point out to you. There are only two instances in the entire Bible, New and Old Testament, where we know the actual names of angels. Michael, the archangel, which means the leading angel, and Daniel. That's it. No one else. No one else. There were other angels. Never were they given a name. Gabriel. Oh, sorry. Maybe I did, because it's in Daniel. The reference is Daniel 12 for Michael and in Daniel 9. Thank you for pointing that up. Nowhere in the Bible is an angel dressed in gold. Not there. But I'll tell you somebody who is coming back dressed in gold. It says here in Revelations 1:13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paths with a golden girdle, which is another word for belt. Isn't that interesting? That this angel just so happened to have a sash made out of gold? Okay. You should be thinking. That should be catching your attention going, okay. Next, only Jesus will appear with his name written on his clothing. In Revelation 19:16, it says, Lord of lords and King of kings is written on his, it says on his garment and his thigh. Angels never appeared with a name, ever. It's not important. What's important about their name? We want to pray to God. That's why it's important. That's why the Lord doesn't have a whole thing of angel names, because people would get messed up and they would start to worship them and pray to them. Okay? That's why we only know of two angels' names out of who knows how many millions there are. Okay? Let me point out something else that's very interesting. And these, we're going to look up a couple of scriptures. Angels are messengers. The word itself for angel means messenger. Okay, is an angel just going to fly in front of you? Hey, catch the name and fly off? What message do they deliver? Okay, turn in your Bible to Zechariah chapter 1. Let's look at some examples here. Zechariah chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Make sure I got that right. 3 through 14. Okay, we're going to go down a little bit further. Let's start at verse 11, and it says, and they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Verse 12, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy in Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah? And if you go through, and it says, and the Lord in verse 13 answered the angel, and the angel communed with me. Okay, Zechariah. And verse it goes all the way down through. If you look over at verse 19, and I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Okay? Look over in chapter 2, in verse 3. It says, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. In chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep. And it goes on and on. Let's look at it in the New Testament. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. God is very specific about his word. It says that scripture is not open to private interpretation. So if you, when an angel was to appear to you, you're not just supposed to guess why he's there, okay? All right, let's look at Acts chapter 10, and starting in verse 3, he saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are gone up before a memorial before God. Okay. If you look down at verse 27, another example. As he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Right, let's see, this is the same chapter. Okay. Oh, right. That was the angel speaking there. Okay. And in verse 23 and 24. Then called he in and lodged, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. Well, that's not the scripture I'm looking for. But anyways, you're getting the point. But angels don't just appear and fly off. They actually have a purpose and a message. And it's not very common that angels appear, because we're not to look for that. We're to look to God and His Word. Amen? Okay. All right. We went through the definition of angels. It means angelos, a messenger, to deliver a message. This is from the Vine's definition of all the words where in the New Testament where they use the word angel. It also uses a guardian, a representative, a created being, superior to man, belonging to heaven, engaged in his service, meaning God's service. They have not material bodies as men have. They are either human in form or they can assume human form when necessary. They are called holy in Mark 8:38, in contrast with the original number that's talking about the fallen angels who fell and left their original habitation. Okay, and I could go on, but we're running a little bit short on time. So I have some other definitions up here if you're interested in angels. I just want to read a couple of things from you about angels from the Matthew Henry commentary. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. It says, what angels, excuse me, are as to their nature, they are spirits without bodies or inclination to bodies, yet they can assume bodies. They are spirits, incorporeal, intelligent, active, substances, they can excel in wisdom and strength. What the angels are, as to their office, they are ministering spirits. Christ is mediator, is the great minister of God in the great work of redemption. Angels are ministering spirits under the Blessed Trinity to execute the divine will and pleasure. They are the ministers of divine providence. They, angels, are sent forth for this end to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. By comparing the truth of God's word to this so-called vision that this individual had, we could clearly see that this doesn't line up with any angel that was in the Word of God. And if something like that appeared to me in a conference, I'd be rebuking it. I would tell it to go in the name of Jesus, because it doesn't line up. And you know what? God's not offended. There are people that have had appearance, rarely, of Jesus appearing to them, and they thought it was demonic, so they rebuked it. Well, Jesus wasn't offended by that. He's like, no, it's really me. We want to be pressing in towards the truth of God's word, okay? So the danger isn't in reading the vision, okay? Let me just stress this. If you come across this on the internet and your eyes glaze through it, are you in, you know, mortal sin here? No, okay? But if you believe it and you don't discern error from truth, what can happen is that you could be subject to that deception. You could say, well, wait a minute. You mean angels can appear to me and give me these mysterious messages? Maybe I should be praying for that. And unknowingly, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up for an angel of light. Okay? And if I had to take a guess at it, I would say this was probably an angel of light or a figment of the individual's imagination, either one. I don't know, and I'm not going to judge that. But I wouldn't receive what that person said. Now, there's one other point I want to bring out to you. In all deception, there's good mixed in with it. If it was all poisonous, you wouldn't go near it. If it was all just about horrible things, but it sounds good. Anything that's deceptive is going to mix truth in with it. Because then you'll think, well, that sounds really good. And you know, Israel awakening, that sounds nice. I mean, we all want Israel to get saved. That's great. But you got to look past that. You can't get caught up in catchphrases, in, like, catchy themes that are going on. You know, Watchmen on the Wall, which is Old Testament, by the way. There's nowhere in New Testament that no one's a watchman on any wall, unless you're sitting on your own wall in your house. You've got to discern, and you've got to know the Word of God. That's why it's really important to be in a place where you're taught the Word of God, that somebody's going to sit down and explain this to you. And you will get that here. I will point out, I will search out things that are going on, and I'm going to lay them out for you to judge, to discern whether you're going to receive it or not, whether you're going to walk in it or not, okay? All right, so we know that the Word of God is our final guide, is our protection for our life. We learned tonight that we need to love the Word of God. We need to give ourselves over to it. We need to take time to study it and learn it and get it in our hearts so that when that deception comes by, it'll go, I see you, Satan. I'm not falling for that. Okay? And then pray for that person. When I read this today, I wasn't moved with awe in my heart towards this individual. I know who this individual is. I was grieved for that person. I thought, oh, man. And that's really a dangerous place for that person to be in, to believe that that was truth. And I don't think he's trying to deceive people. I think that it's just something that he believes, okay? So that I just wanted to teach that to you tonight. Yes, Bill, were you going to add something? Amen.
I still keep a hold of this New American Standard because it has a Greek Hebrew dictionary in it, and I always reference it. But in this New American Standard, I'm going back to Hebrews 7, and that word there, he actually says in the New American, who makes his angels wind. And then there's a Greek reference, and I want to study that more, too.
Well,
and
I have...
It goes back to what you've always said about the King James Version.
Right.
And, you know, these other ones, and if somebody is teaching
right.
out of one of these,
right.
you know, this is a reference.
Right.
This isn't a teaching. This is this is my Greek Hebrew reference. But, you know, it sounds to me like he's teaching out
it's
of
very possible.
A different version.
It's very possible that he is, and that's where he got it. And that's why we personally don't recommend any other Bible except for the King James. Because it is closest, it's the best translation we have. Every other Bible, for those of you who have never sat under a teaching about the Word of God, every other Bible there is, if it has a copyright, there are copyright laws in the United States. They have to change it a certain amount. But if you remember that verse we read about the warning about adding or taking away, every person that changes the Word of God is in violation and has come underneath that curse. That's a scary place to be, okay? So he very well may be using that type of reference. Stick to the King James. There's a really good King James study Bible. It's got the lexicons in the Greek and the Hebrew. It's amazing. It's called the Word. Is it what's called the Word? Keyword Study Bible. I'll get the exact name of it and have it next week. But I use that a lot because it's amazing. It's so tiny, but they actually put the whole Hebrew concordance, the Greek. It's all in the same Bible. It's not that big. It's amazing. It's a really good reference, and it's all based on the King James. Okay? So that's a good point. Thank you for sharing that. So be careful what versions you use. That's really important because that could be opening the door for deception. Someday we'll actually take a night and I'll bring in comparisons of the different versions. And we're going to upload them up on a board. And I'm going to show you verse by verse what versions uses what word. And you will be, it is frightening, actually, some of the things that they do in some of these versions. Okay? All right. Well, let's just bow our heads right now and let's just go to before the Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your truth. Lord God, we love your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Father, I pray that every person here, Lord God, would fall in love with your word, that would not look to the right or to the left, but would keep their eyes fixed and trained on you. Father, I thank you for teaching us, for helping us discern, giving us spiritual giftings, Lord God, to go, no, this is wrong, and that we would turn from it and stay in the path, in your path, Lord God, that you ordained for us. Father, I just pray right now for every person here. Lord, I thank you that I know that every person here has got unspoken prayer requests. And right now, I just want you to just bring those into your mind. If it's a person that you're praying for or something for yourself, let's just go to the Lord corporately right now. And we're just going to believe God for healings and salvation and deliverances, whatever people need, prosperity, finances. Lord God, I thank you right now that you know our needs, even before we thought them just now. And Father God, I thank you that you are our supplier. You are the giver of all good things. And Lord, we know that you said if we delight ourselves in you, that our paths would drip in abundance, Lord God. Father, I thank you for meeting these needs right now in every life, in every heart, in every name that is lifted up to you right now. Father God, help us this week. Help us to shine as bright and mighty lights for you. Father God, I just right now, I come against the spirit of fear, of lack of boldness to share Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would put it upon our hearts, that you would cause divine appointments to come our way. Lord, that people that are hungry and lost, people that are believing false doctrine, Lord, that we could share truth in a spirit of love and meekness and humbleness. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for that opportunity, that you are equipping your saints, that you are raising up a mighty army, Lord God, to serve you and to usher in your glorious return, Jesus. We thank you for it and we give you praise. And if you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen.